Does Soho. With Bibi Lynch.
Hello, everyone. What a beautiful day. It's as beautiful as watching Theresa May struggle with that French letter. Sorry, EU letter. Hey, I'm Bibi Lynch and you're listening to Bibi Does Soho on your fantastic Soho radio. I'm all yours for the next 2 hours. Should we do it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Today, are we on air?
Yeah, we're on air.
I'm Bibi Lynch, and that was Salt and Pepper featuring Olivia Vogue. What a man for my for my beautiful niece Billy, who isn't a man, although she has a man's name. Isn't that confusing, Nick?
Yes,
anyway. I'm wearing
Billy Piper.
Hey, I'm wearing £4.50 jeans from a charity shop, but actually, in effect, they cost me 50 pence because I tipped them 50p. And I brought my own back. Hey, how are you? What's been happening? Me? Well, I'm back from the seaside. Yay! I put on a stone and almost had a fight with a dry cleaner. I'll tell you about that later. And I watched RuPaul's Drag Race for the first time.
Oh, yeah.
Congratulations. How do you feel about Drag Race?
Do you know, I've never seen it.
Oh, my God. We're going to do that. We're going to have a binge week. One of the girls was called Courtney Act. It took me about 2 weeks to realise that Courtney Act, what that actually meant. Do you get it? Courtney Act.
Courtney Act.
When did you last do drag, Nick?
I dressed up in a girl guide uniform when I used to work behind a bar on New Year's Eve, and that was when I was about 18.
Literally too much information. No one needs to know that. You could have just said I've never worn a frock.
Yeah.
You'd look lovely with
it. It wasn't drag. It was fancy dress.
Can I do your eyes one day?
No.
Okay. Let me tell you about my show. My first guest is gorgeous broadcaster and fabulous jazz vocalist Jamoke Fashola. Jamoke will be telling us about her fantastic Pizza Express Jazz Club show, Protest, Divas and Revolution, in the second hour. We'll be joined by brilliant musicians Paul Cuddeford and Mr. Glenn Gregory, I know, with us today to talk about their Bowie supergroup, Holy Holy. So please join in. We would love to hear from you. Tweet at Soho Radio or at BB Lynch and at BB Lynch. Tweet and say hello. Or tweet and tell me the best drag name you've ever heard. Mine is Amy Housewine. Sorry, Amy.
Be with you, be with you, you're so cool.
good. That's right. See, I should be a singer. If I was, I've got a voice like, a voice like a bloody angel. I've got. So I'm staying in Tottenham. How's Tottenham?
Yeah. It's all right, isn't it?
Well, don't you know it? I thought you knew it.
Ish.
Where's to go in Tottenham? Can we ask people? Is anyone know? Producer Ellie, do you know Tottenham?
I used to go to uni there.
Did you? Did you go to university? No, how rude. What did you study at university? Radio?
Yes.
And there's a radio course?
Yeah, radio production.
Radio production. Maybe I can do that. Do you want a mic? Oh, you've got one. So what was Tottenham like?
We had trained people in there.
I have no idea. What was Tottenham like?
It's not the nicest area. I'm so going to be honest.
So last night, about 9:30 outside Seven Sisters Tube, there was a man with a mic and a PA, and God knows who gave him the PA, singing, telling me that I've got a wretched life. I mean, I'm assuming he was talking to me directly, saying that I've got a wretched life because I don't have God in my heart. Can we blame God? Can we praise God?
No.
Is God responsible for anything that's gone on in Tottenham?
But you do have a wretched life. Well, he was right.
And I don't have God in my life.
Well, there you are.
So I said to someone once, he was talking
about... He's a genius.
This bloke I know, we don't talk anymore. He was talking about his auntie saying what a tragic life she's had. And I said, oh God, I'd hate someone to say I had a tragic life. And he just coughed. It's really mean, isn't it?
Could you've only been there like half a day and you've already had adventures. Tottenham,
yeah. So I had a bird poop on me yesterday. It took me 3 hours, 45 minutes to travel from door to door, from Hove to Tottenham, and loads of train palaver and blah, blah, blah. And then a bird pooped on me.
Apparently, I always get bird poo on me.
It's lucky. It's always lucky.
Yeah. Why do you say it's lucky?
I don't say it. People do. Well, it's one of those things people, the mythical people, that's good luck.
I hate people. How do you get it out?
Baby wipes.
Did you? Baby
Purcell,
wipes? I think it's going to be a bit of a Brillo pad thing. So we've got a busy show today. We've got a set up in the studio that I can't see producer Nick. So producer Nick is usually to my right, is now to my left and behind me. And to be honest, I'm in a little bit of shoulder pain because of all the luggage I was lugging yesterday. Do you think lugging comes from luggage?
Possibly.
Anyway, so I can't really see producer Nick, and I think I like it this way. No, you're very handsome.
See, and I have to get up and trip over furniture to play the records.
Play a little song, and then we're going to get Jamoke in, and I believe she's bought me a present.
I will build you a castle with a tower so reaches the moon. I'll gather melodies from birdies that fly and compose you a tune. Give you love and warm and mama's oven, and if that don't do, then I'll try something new. I will take you away with me as far as I can, to Venus or Mars. There we will walk with your hand in my hand. You'll be queen of the stars, and every day we can play on the Milky Way. And if that don't do, then I'll try something new. All the fellas, and if that don't do, then I'll try something new. I take the stars and count them and move a mountain, and if that don't do, I'll try something new. On the moon above, I write a tune that I love, and baby, if it don't do, I'm gonna try something new. Try again is what I'll do. Always trying something else.
I'm Bibi Lynch, and that was our Try Something New by The Miracles. Guess what? Our first guest is here without a present. Welcome to Soho Radio. Gorgeous broadcast and brilliant jazz vocalist, Jamaica Fasher. Why didn't you get the present? Did you not get the...
I didn't get the memo,
really?
And I really apologise.
Well...
I would have brought you a coffee, though.
Can
I just say, this is such glorious surroundings.
It's amazing.
Absolutely glorious surroundings. I love it. I'm like, oh, I could just come and lie here. You
so
know,
this is it, just
under
lie.
The neon, under the neon lights of Soho, because that's my kind of thing.
Which
so.
Is best? Backlight? I don't understand lighting.
Well, you kind of have to find your key light, as they say.
Sure.
So you have to step into the
sure.
light. So always make sure it's on your face.
I would like to forward roll into it. Or just do a crab into it.
Each into its own, you know. Well, there you go. Well, I'll bring light next
Please
time.
Please bring
I come.
Just a candle.
That will be
just
my present.
Just bring me a candle, Jamaica. How are you? How's life?
I'm really well. Thank you ever so much. And thank you for having me on the
programme.
You're
joking.
It's a real delight.
Brilliant. It's brilliant. So Jamaica and I were talking just in a casual way.
Absolutely.
In a soft area.
Yeah,
in a soft area. And I was going, come
Steady.
On the show. Come on the show.
Steady.
That's
soft. That's another show.
Well, that's a late night show.
That's
Let's
a
do
late
a late night show.
Show.
Oh, God, started already.
I'm so sorry, producer.
Well, I still do a show called Dirty Little Secrets, which is all
yes.
about the blues singers of the 1920s who used to sing absolutely filthy songs in sort of big old dives sort
yeah.
of in America. And that's actually a filthy show, but I'm on to talk about something completely different.
You do, but I love filth.
I know, I love a bit of filth.
Yeah.
I also love the fact that people are so shocked when I sing songs that are from the 1920s that are worse than Nicki Minaj's songs currently. So.
They are, aren't they?
They
I know.
Really are.
Give some,
they really
give some
are.
A bit of history who doesn't feel the impact yeah. and then you're like, yeah, hello, story of my life in a way. So that track, the Berry Gordy one, the Smokey Robinson one, Miracles rather, I listened, my brother Patrick, hello Patrick, he's my baby brother and he's about 6'2" and
nice.
Not a baby, he's gorgeous. He's like me with a beard. And... He's better looking than me with a beard, with a better beard.
No one could be better looking than
oh,
you.
Oh, you. So
in certain lights.
Yeah, yeah.
We like her. She can come back.
You didn't hear the snide after thing there. So anyway, my baby brother Patrick said to me, listen to Berry Gordy, Desert Island Discs. And I listened to it. And the story behind that song is so brilliant. So he was looking after Smokey Robinson. And then Smokey said, oh, I think I might be able to write, and kind of presented him with the song. And Berry was like, damn, he can write as well. I'm in trouble. I'm no longer the boss.
Sure.
Do you write your own stuff?
I write some of my own stuff, yes. But I love exploring sort of the depths of historical music, whether it's, you know, slightly more contemporary or older. But yes, I do write.
Which brings us to your fantastic show, which is in April, and it's at Peace Express Dean Street, and it's called Protest, Divas and Revolution.
Mm. Well, I mean, obviously we've just done the Brexit deal,
yeah.
you know, etc. And this actually happens
Is that
to...
still happening?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Happens on St. George's Day, which is on that Sunday, which wasn't deliberate. It just
yeah.
happened to be. But I am fascinated by the idea that music can move people into action and can make people motivate people in a way. And there is music from around the world. So what we're exploring in this show on the 23rd is music from around the world. So some of the music you will know, whether it's the Bob Dylans of this world, etc. But some of it you may not know, but have been catalysts for change.
Yeah.
In various countries. So there'll be music from South Africa, and there'll be music from Nigeria, which are where my roots are from. And then there'll be the American kind of spirituals and stuff like that. And we have a very big surprise, but I genuinely can't tell you about that. But
Nick, get the surprise
say,
out of
no, surprise, suffice to say, I'm really giddy with excitement that I've made this happen, but I genuinely can't tell you about it.
Let's hope they show up.
Oh, you're such
Thanks.
An old cynic.
Thanks.
That's hilarious.
Sorry, I'm used to working with BB.
Yeah,
it just
yeah.
comes naturally. I can't.
Yeah,
how
rude.
I've got no
but
filter
listen, if
anymore.
They don't turn up, and I'm not being funny, producer Nick and I, we sometimes work out
on.
Dance routines. And Nick likes to do a bit of BV.
Okay.
Back in vocals, Nick. And so if you're ever stuck, seriously...
That has just moved my spirit. I will bear that in mind.
Has it?
In a way that I'm not sure I like.
Yeah, yeah, I know. That could be cystitis. I'm so sorry. So I talked about cystitis before on a show and got in trouble, didn't I? And I apologise.
There's usually something.
Yeah, I apologise. So the idea, did it come to you because of what's going on in the world now?
I think kind of, but I was going through, I'm a big fan of Mira Makeba. Mira Makeba is one of my all-time heroes, and I was looking at the music that she was singing, and I'd been to South Africa recently about about six, seven months ago and had done the tours and all of that kind of stuff. And I think all of those coalesced into this kind of idea that how do we express ourselves through music when we're trying to make change? And that was how it began. And then I was like, oh, and then someone called me and said, would you like to do a show? And I was like, I don't have a show. Oh, yes, I have a show.
The show.
I have a show. I know what the show will be. You know, it was one of those. And so this is the first one, and we're doing another one, but later in the year.
So give us some more examples of people's songs you're going to be covering.
Okay, so we'll do some Bob Dylan, we'll do some Miriam McCabe, we are going to do some Gil Scott-Heron. It's a real mix bag of things. It's, you know, it's from the folk through to...
So it's a jazz club, but not necessarily jazz, including jazz.
Including jazz. Well, the thing is, Pizza Express, I've done lots of shows at Pizza Express and it feels like a second home. So, yeah. You know, when I said to the team, this is what I like to do, they were like, oh, actually, this sounds really good fun. So you will get some jazz, but you won't. I mean, you'll get some Nina Simone, for instance. I mean, it's 2:45 minutes or whatever. So there's going to be a whole gamut of music. But it really is about exploring expressions of music about through protest or protest through music, etc.
Are the songs about change, and I don't mean just as in that there's anything small about this, but civil rights or social change, is it other change? Is it all social rights? And
A lot of it is social rights. I might do one or two. I do a thing which is, I might do some Billy Strayhorn. I'm not quite sure yet. Some of the songs I'm kind of umming and ahhing. The difficulty with this show is there are lots of songs that I want to sing. So I then have to go, well, you have to narrow it down. You can't do all of them. So you have to narrow it down. And you also have to have a thread, you know, like a story which takes you through why I've chosen a particular song. There's a song by Billy Strayhorn called Lush Life, which I haven't decided whether or not to put in the show, but it's one I love. But of course, he was black and gay and it talks all about his journey. And he wrote that when he was 16. And it's just, there are all sorts of extraordinary stories that come from this music.
Okay, so Bob Dylan. Now, people don't like me for many reasons, but I love my music, and I think I've got, someone told me once I had impeccable music taste. You know, and I'm not going to argue with this boy, and he had good hair. So I think people have good hair and they give you a compliment, you have to take it. But I don't get Frank Sinatra and Bob Dylan. No, I know. Bye, Jim. Okay. Thank you so much for coming.
Wow.
I know.
Wow. I hear you.
That's like, I don't know. I'm looking at you in a different light.
I know, but we're all about light today. It's a lovely
feeling,
isn't it?
Yeah, we are. Yeah.
But I do have, I think, great music taste. So it's a weird one for me. He just doesn't move me. And I know he does everyone else. It's too smooth. It just doesn't get me. And Bob Dylan, I know the lyrics are amazing. I know the songs are amazing. The voice is a stumbling block for me. So as a singer, is Bob Dylan a challenge, or is it a lovely opportunity to really bring the song out?
It's a lovely opportunity to bring the song out.
I think I worded that quite nicely.
I think you really did. I mean, I understand why Bob Dylan is a love or hate, but you can't ignore his role in protest and his role. And there are people like Odetta, who also is a very big hero of the civil rights. She sang at the Martin Luther King I Have a Dream speech. You know, she, again, is one of those people who divides people. You either love her voice or you don't. So often it is about the song. It is totally about the lyric and the song. It is not about the individuals who maybe wrote about them, although I will tell their stories. And I think that's a really important point, that sometimes people do hear a Bob Dylan or whoever it might be and think, oh, I don't really like that, so I'm not going to come and see a show. Well, actually, every singer interprets the music the best way that they can.
Yeah.
And I know I got a good voice, so I invite you to come and hear it differently.
Well, I need to read this because this is such a beautiful quote. So it's from the Associate Director of Bush Theatre, saying Jim Oakey is a master entertainer and a spellbinding singer with the soul power of her glorious voice and her mischievous banter. You're so mischievous.
I am really
You
naughty.
Are really mischievous. Yeah. She takes the whole audience on a sensual and surprising journey. I love the sound of that.
That was about Dirty Little Secrets. But the reality, and it was dirty, but... the reality is that it's all about engagement, really. It's all about, I'm all about storytelling. That's how I was brought up, about being able to tell a story through music. I've loved singing. I don't sing for, you know, sort of fame or glory. I sing because I love singing and I love telling stories. That's why I'm a broadcaster. And that's why, for me, this really ties in really nicely, because alongside the music, there's also poetry. There's all sorts of things that you can add into the mix that tell the story.
So we're going to play one of the songs that Jamocha is going to cover. But I just want to say this, because I always thought my favourite protest song, and actually my favourite, I think maybe my favourite song of all time, which I know is a really big claim, but Someday We'll All Be Free, Donny Hathaway.
Yeah, well, yeah.
And, oh, I mean, yeah, song, yeah. The first time, and I thought it was a protest song, but the story I've heard about it is actually it was about his mental illness. Mm. And his lyricist wrote it just saying,
we'll be free.
Someday you'll be free of that. Someday.
I think it's very special to note that songs always, whether you're actually not just songs, but books and poetry, have meanings, different meanings for different people, and that the success of a song is always about when various people can interpret the song
that's
in a
totally
different way.
Right, that's it. So it means something to everyone. Yeah. That's brilliant. Hey, producer Nick, mm-hmm. Look how handsome he is. Have you two met before?
No. I heard Nick trying to. He kind of went, "How do you pronounce the name?" So no, we obviously haven't. We've never met before. I thought that was very polite.
He's polite to you.
Oh, is he?
Monster
okay.
To me.
Just being professional. No.
Yeah.
Hey, hello.
I missed you last time. How was rehab?
I was on holiday for the last show, and BB has been propagating this very unfair rumour that I was in rehab. I went to a wedding. Needed rehab after.
Yeah, I've seen the pictures.
Yeah.
You look so handsome. Which of Jamoke's three songs would you like to play? Do we ask Jamoke? Should we see?
Yeah, well, I should all
because we chose them all, and we just thought. So you have the lovely option.
Choose whatever you want.
Ooh, well, now that's difficult because it depends on what would you describe as the music style of the show?
I'd say, Nick, what would you say?
Classic soul and jazz.
Okay, compared to what by Roberta Flack?
Yeah, I love it. And we're playing some Johnny later, so that's perfect.
Possession is the motivation, hanging up the whole damn nation. Looks like we always end up in a rut, trying to make it real. But compared to what? Slaughterhouse. Children are killing frogs. Poor dumb rednecks rolling logs. Tired old ladies are kissing dogs. And I hate that human love, that stinking mud. Trying to make it real, but compared to what? Said the president, he's got his war. Folks don't know just what it's for. No one gives us rhyme or reason. If you have one doubt, they call it treason. I said we're chicken feathers, all without one gut. But compared to what? Go to church on Sunday, sleep and not trying to duck the wrath of God. Preachers filling us with pride, telling what he thinks is right. But he must be some kind of stupid nut. Make it real. Try to make it real, yeah. Try to make it real, real, real.
This is BB Does Soho on Soho Radio, SohoRadioLondon.com. We have an app. Go to the App Store and search for Soho Radio London. And that was Roberta Flack. Now, that is a voice. Who's your favourite vocalist? Is that impossible to say?
Oof. Oh, gosh, you've got me now. I wish you hadn't asked me. It's really hard. It's really hard to say. And Roberta Flack, that album, which is the very first album she ever released, every single song on there I think I've sung. I mean, I just think she's incredible. It's just invidious. It's really hard. I mean, jazz singers, of course, you've got probably Abby Lincoln. Abby Lincoln is one of those names that people don't often know. She worked with Max Roach, and she is she's actually very much like the Dylan voice. She's a love or die kind of person. Incredible singer-songwriter, probably one of my favorite singer-songwriters, not necessarily singers. I mean, where do you start? Aretha? I don't know. Don't ask me.
I don't know. So I always ask a singer this question, and I can never remember what their answer is. Just because I don't think there's been a definitive answer yet. Although, is there a definitive answer to anything? But Jamokay. So when you were starting out, when's the point when a singer finds their voice? So you, no doubt, if you're listening to any music, anything that's inspired you, that's naturally going to be the voice you're trying to emulate her snake to a certain extent. When do you let that go and then have the courage that your voice comes in?
Well, it's interesting because my uncle, I have two uncles. One uncle ran a jazz club, and the first time I ever sang was I sang Summertime in his jazz club.
Oh, how old were you?
I was like 16 or something. But there was silence because I wasn't a good singer, and there was silence. And then he was like, come on, need to encourage the young people. Come on, clap. So they were like this smattering off the floor. And then another uncle.
I can imagine a Nigerian audience is nothing. Yeah, just like Simon Cowell is nothing on that. That must be the hardest
seriously,
to please.
Seriously, they were so hard to please. But the second time I remember, I was completely obsessed with Nina Simone. And another one of my uncles runs a cultural thing at the University of Lagos, which is where I went to. And he, at one point, we were doing this classical piece, and he turned around to me and said, this vibrato that you've got going, I'm not sure about it. It needs to be a clean line. And I was like, yeah. But that was the moment I thought, actually, I don't want to be a classical singer. I want to be like a Nina Simone. But I'm completely obsessed with Diana Ross, for instance, because of the clothes. So I kind of married all of this stuff together. So when you see me, it's all glam and glitter and all of this kind of stuff, alongside a sort of slight Nina Simone, Ella Fitzgerald, you know, it's all thrown in there. I think I have found my authentic voice, but it just depends on what I'm singing.
And it came from basically someone saying, don't do this. You're like, I do want to do this.
I think it comes from knowing what you want to be your identity. So when someone says, don't do something, then you have to check yourself and go, well, actually, I really like doing this.
Yeah.
It may not work for you, but it works for me.
Isn't Diana Royce, Diana Royce, that's so funny. Weird, because now my uncle's called Royce. I've been talking about my uncle Royce today. But
Diana Royce.
Diana
from,
Royce.
From Rose Royce.
Diana Ross. Her voice is an interesting one because it maybe sometimes feels a bit thin and not quite there, but there's an emotive quality to it. That's her power, isn't it?
Flat.
Yeah, she is.
No.
She is. And what's interesting, the reason why I love Diana Ross is because I saw her do the Billie Holiday film thing. Yeah. I can't remember what
Lady Sings the Blues.
And that was the first time I'd ever seen her really acting. And I thought she was brilliant in that. But also that then she still had the glamour and all that kind of stuff. So she splits hairs, there's no doubt about it. But you can't ignore the history that she brought to the table, the kind of things she's done, the difference she's made, you know, the battles she's fought, you know, all of that kind of stuff.
And whatever it is in her voice that does make you want to listen to more Diana Ross. You know, whatever that pull is. Some people just have it, don't they? Like you've got it, producer Nick. Tell me about your band.
So...
No.
Really, Nick, I'm more interested in you now. I'm fascinated.
I'm interested in this protest disco jazz, your hybrid musical style. I love it.
She's got a boob tube on and a placard.
You just never know. Well,
it's RuPaul's protest song.
Oh, exactly. My God. I'm obsessed with Drag Race.
Are you?
Yeah. I think I'm a little... I'm working on... I know this is your time, Jamoke.
It's fine,
we'll talk
don't
about
worry.
Me a
you can ignore me.
I've got...
Enough of you.
Anyway, you've had your plug. I like to have a good walk, Ellie.
A good walk.
A good strut.
Okay.
I think it's important.
Is it right?
And I
get the juices flowing of a morning.
I like to kind of keep it going, and I think I've let my walk down. I was getting a bit Dick Emery.
Oh, you mean like a strut?
A strut, yeah.
So I was getting a bit
like John Travolta at the start of Saturday Night Fever.
And then I've been watching Drag Race with my niece Billy, who calls me Uncle BB, by the way. And I'm a little bit like Vivacious in season 6. It's a bit strutting, a bit too forceful. So I need a new walk. We'll get back to that later. Tell me about your band, okay?
So I now feel like I need to polish my walk. You know,
please.
I'm just thinking about everything that you've just said.
I feel I need to apologise.
Yeah.
That's all right.
Rude.
So in the band, Simon Wallace, who is just a legend, every singer, he is the pianist to have as a singer.
It's amazing.
He's amazing. MD. And then we've got Neville Malcolm. Neville Malcolm has played with Gregory Porter. I mean, Neville is just the most amazing bass player ever. And then we've got Cheryl Allenley, who is on drums. She's worked with Courtney Pine. She's just worked, again, Jazz Jamaica. So they really are seasoned musicians. And then I have a few special guests. We'll just have to wait.
Just give us an initial.
No, I can't.
Give us a...
I can't.
Is it Bob Dylan?
She said it's Bob Dylan.
No, he's in Sweden at the moment collecting his Nobel Prize, because I read it in
that
the papers.
That was a bit stalkerish,
actually.
I thought he wasn't
going
to do that.
No, he has literally just collected it. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, he is going to collect
it. Do you think you get a goodie bag when you win the Nobel Prize?
I would think so.
So, like lip balm.
What, £750,000?
Pop socks and some lip balm.
It's like the Oscars, you get like a Rolex.
Do you?
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah,
what, like a fire
fest? Do you?
You get a goodie bag worth about 50 grand. Yeah, you get all this.
Yeah. Jamoke, how don't you know that?
Well, what's
that's
the what pointing
I got
of
when
it?
I got
oh, really?
Yeah. No,
Nick, I'm really fascinated by you now. Can I just say, you
know, unbelievable.
He flirts
with all the guests.
I'm obsessed now, particularly if you've got that goodie bag.
I have.
Yeah. More obsessed.
In Grazia or something.
Yeah, when I had my column.
Yeah.
Do you remember when I had a career?
Yeah. Do you remember when I had a career?
So.
Former
Can I come back, please?
Jamoke, this is going to be an amazing night. It sounds absolutely brilliant. So have a fantastic time.
Thank you very, very much.
And let me tell everyone all the information. So, Protest, Divas and Revolution is at Pizza Express Jazz Club, Dean Street, on Sunday, 23rd of April. For tickets, go to pizzaexpresslive.com and follow Jamoke on Twitter at Jamoke Fashola, which I will spell it, JUMOKEFASHOLA, and visit JamokeFashola.com for updates on all her exciting projects. I forgive you for not bringing a present. I forgive you for hating me because I don't like Frank Sinatra.
Say I hate you. Can I just clarify that?
Yeah.
I didn't say I hated you.
You don't like me as much.
I just need to educate you later
on. Ooh, lovely. All right, you mischievous thing. Best of luck that night.
Thank you.
We will see you soon. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
And let's play a song that you are definitely going to perform, which is Tracy Chapman.
Yeah. Talking About a Revolution.
Here it is.
Don't you know, talking about a revolution sounds like a whisper. Don't you know, talking about a revolution sounds like a whisper. While they're standing in the welfare lines, crying at the doorsteps of those armies of salvation, wasting time in the unemployment lines, sitting around for a promotion. Don't you know, talking about a revolution, it sounds whisper. Who are people gonna rise up and get their share? Who are people gonna rise up and take what's theirs? Don't you know you better run, 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 run. Talking about a revolution. Yes, finally the tables are starting to turn.
talking about a revolution. Oh, no. Talking about a revolution. Oh, while they're standing in the welfare lines, crying to those observers, armies of salvation, wasting time in the unemployment lines, sitting around waiting for a promotion. Don't you know? Talking about a revolution sounds a whisper. And finally the tables are starting to turn. Talking about a revolution. Yes, finally the tables are starting to turn. Talking about a revolution. Oh, no. Talking about a revolution. Oh, no. Talking about a revolution.
What was she talking about?
Talking about a revolution.
Oh, I can see me. About. I'm quite revolting.
Tracy Chapman. You are. You are. It has to be said. Wasn't Jamocha amazing?
Oh, you know what? Let's not get good people on the show. I don't think I come across well when we get good people
in. No, that's
in.
The thing. See, if you don't want to be upstaged by good people.
Yeah. Let's not get good-looking people or good people.
Okay.
Who have we got left? You got anyone? You got any friends? You got any friends?
A few.
Who's your best friend? BB Lynch.
Don't make me choose best friends.
Oh, is it like Sophie's Choice?
Yeah.
Who's your best friend?
I've got two or three.
You got any friends that you don't like?
Yeah, well, they wouldn't be friends then, would they?
Well, no. I think people have people in their lives that they don't like. I pitched that. Do you remember when I had a career?
Vague memories.
I pitched a feature idea once to this girl saying, let's write a piece about friends you don't like. And she went, I like my friends. I went,
Yeah, well, why would they be friends?
No, because for history.
They'd just
or
be people you know, wouldn't
people,
they?
People, well, there's some people that you'd want to see one Saturday afternoon for 2 hours every month.
Yeah, but then I wouldn't, I don't know. I just, if there's some, yeah.
Are we going for chips after?
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, brilliant.
Oh, by the way, you've, I mean, I missed the last show.
Yeah, rehab. How was rehab? How did they do
I
it? Is it 12
to a
steps?
Wedding.
6 steps for you, 28 steps.
A few staggers. No, you've been having a time of it, haven't you?
Yes, so I've been in Hove, everyone, and it's been so lovely spending time with Billy. It's honestly been brilliant. And my honorary niece, Sid, honestly, those girls are so funny, and we had such a lovely time. But I did have a coat that I loved very much.
Oh, that lovely blue coat.
You admired it.
It was so nice. I even complimented you on it.
Yeah, because you're usually quite horrible to me.
Yeah.
And it was so lovely.
You look
good
in it.
And I'm, thank you, darling. Mm. Well, it's X now.
So what happened?
Well, I was I took it to the dry cleaners.
Yeah.
Thinking it's such a special garment, let's give it the respect it deserves.
Let's splash out £4.50 on a special
$12.99.
Is that how much they?
$12.99. Yeah. Anyway, I went to this dry cleaners, right? And I looked online, and I didn't go to Johnson's dry cleaners. Oh no, I've just named them. I didn't go to that dry cleaners because they did something to a coat of mine when I was in Manchester. So I thought I'm not going there again. Johnson's, you deserve that little shout out, negative shout out, because you did do naughty, and I've got the letter to prove it.
Yeah.
I'm such a freak. Then, so I didn't go to them, and then I checked out what was around, and three doors down, there was dry cleaners.
Mm-hmm.
And I rang the number that day to check they were open, and the number just rang out, and my head went, this isn't good.
See, that should have been there.
Well, it was a sign. Yeah. And then I needed it for 2 days later or whatever, so I just thought, the other dry cleaners are shut, so I went there. Anyway, long story, I went in there. It looked like a drug den, drug front, with a couple of shirts hanging up, but I felt sorry for the man who had really big eyes, and he was really lovely, so I felt really sorry for him. So I it's like going into a restaurant,
yeah,
and the waiter spots you, and then you turn around, you can't walk out because they, you know, it's like you're insulting them personally. So anyway, I left my coat with this
how
man.
How can you live your life like that?
My life's awful. So I left my coat because I don't have God in my heart. It's okay. Wretched.
Yeah.
So I left it with this man, and it was like leaving my firstborn at nursery school.
Yeah.
You know, with a lollipop to suck on. That was it for lunch. Anyway, and of course, I went to pick that coat up 2 days later, and they bore washed it, and it looked like a Brillo pad, and I was absolutely destroyed and distraught. And I've had 2 weeks of me playing the I'm a journalist card, because let's face it,
do you know
I don't write about coats often.
No, but the whole point of dry cleaning is,
yes,
that you don't wash it. So why would they wash it?
Because
or boil it?
I
why would they do
genuinely
that?
Think they put it in the sea.
Okay.
I don't know what they did with it. I was so gutted. And then the delightful PS to this is I ended up having this conversation with the bloke, blah, 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 sorting it out. And not sorting the coat, that's RIP. But rest in pieces. But and then I went to sort out to go and pick up. Oh, do you know what? I can't get into it. But the point is, right, that coat was connected to a place that I wasn't happy.
You're on the radio,
happy.
By the way.
Am
just
I?
To remind
that
you.
Coat was connected to a place that I didn't like.
Yeah.
So actually, I'm saying goodbye, coat. and therefore goodbye place. How about that? What do you think?
Okay.
What about, how about those,
no, that's, yeah,
those hippies?
Moving on. Yeah, but did you get any recompense or did they pay for it?
Oh, a tiny bit. But enough. I'd love to sue someone.
Did you get your $12.99 back?
Well, I ended up having to. So here's the thing. Here's the boring thing. The man gave me my $12.99 back.
This
is the boring thing. The man gave me my $12.99 back. And because I went back to the flat. And then I thought, you know what? If he gets the sack for giving me that money back, I don't want him to get in trouble. I took the money back to him because I'm a lovely person. So I can't have someone getting in trouble over a stupid coat. I then talked to the boss who said I could, of course, have that money back. I went back to collect the money. The bloke behind the counter went, I gave it back. I went, yeah, and I gave it back to you. No, you didn't. I went, oh, my God. So I, a 51-year-old woman, I know I look younger, stood there screaming, I hate you, like I was a child. You know when you lose your temper?
Oh, I'd love to have seen that.
Oh, you. And then I slammed, I'm nearly 5'2". Me slamming a door is pathetic. And I've got a dodgy shoulder, so there was no impact. But I was just screaming, I hate you, at some man with big eyes.
Oh.
How lovely was that story? Yes or no, out of 10?
Oh, 5.
Can we put a song on?
Yeah, who's this? Who do you want to play?
I want to play...
Oh, Georgia.
Oh,
this is Emily King.
Yeah, I love this.
There we go.
I was not ready the day you gave me your heart. I was still falling apart. But since that moment, I can't stop hearing your name. Wondering about you always. Come back, Georgia, come back. Come back, Georgia, come back. Come back, Georgia, come back. Come back, Georgia.
So, oh God. So I was telling the girls I'm wearing BB cream for the first time. What's it? What is BB cream?
It's like a tinted moisturiser.
Is
it the name of it? Is it a brand name?
No, well, it's the kind of...
it's spelt BB, not B-I-B.
Yeah, but I did have a lot of fun in the shop telling the woman it's my name. People don't care, do they, when you say things like that? Not anymore.
You do realise that you come across as being slightly crazy when you start doing
I hate you! Slam! Trip! Walk into the road. Ian Shaw played that song, Georgia, by Emily King to me in a hotel room. We were on his hotel room bed with a tape measure.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not saying anything more, but that is true. Hello, everyone. This is your award-winning Soho Radio. SohoRadioLondon.com. We have an app. Go to the App Store and search for Soho Radio London. So we've had some tweets. Marek, where have you been? I've been in
People
Hove. Yeah.
Wow.
I've been in Hove. And Hove's gorgeous.
Hove, actually.
And Dante Banks... Oh, this is a message to me. Mm-hmm. How can you not like Frank Sinatra, you bloody heathen?
Well done, Dante.
I
agree.
That's not how you spell gorgeous, girl. and who else? Oh, lovely Jamoke. How do you pronounce that? Hepzen. H-E-P-Z-N. This better not be shit about me and my show. Well, that's just cruel, isn't it?
Honestly.
Hey, Nick.
Yes.
Is there a good Massa in Tottenham?
I have no idea. I barely have passed through Tottenham in my life. I don't know about the...
Hey, Dan, is there a good masseur? And I'd like them to pronounce it and spell
what
it
type masseur. Of masseur?
For my back and shoulders. Oh, okay. It's really, really painful. We're going to play Esker, because I love Esker so much. Mm-hmm. And then in the second hour, we've got Paul Cutterford, Glenn Gregory, talking brilliant musicians both, stars both, and members of the Bowie supergroup Holy Holy. So it's going to be brilliant. It's all
special gig taking place tonight.
Tonight, Shepherd's Empire. So very excited about that. Very excited to meet them. And I know Paul.
You know everyone.
I know everyone. okay, so let's have Esker and Shades of Blue, please, producer Nick.
Jazz Soho. With BB Lynch.
So, you know, I got a bird pooped on me yesterday. I'm not sure if I told you that. So it took me 3 hours, 45 minutes to get to Hove and a bird pooped on me. And I've just drunk out of a little cup with a lid on, thinking, I never do that because I never trust them. And, of course, my brand new white T-shirt now has hot chocolate all down my tits. Anyway, that was Donny Hathaway.
Chocolate.
That was Donny Hathaway and Love, Love, Love. So, I think my wedding's still going. I think the wedding plans are still strong.
Good.
Hey everyone, welcome to the second hour of BB Does Soho. I have such bad luck. I'm BB Lynch and you're listening to Soho Radio, sohoradiolondon.com. We have an app, go to the App Store and search for Soho Radio London. Come achieve my beautifully bijou coffee bar and studio on Great Wimble Street. You must come down. We've had a little refurb and it's wood-tastic. It looks a little bit like a sauna, but a sauna with coffee. And what more could you ask for in life? So the brilliant Jamoke Fashiologist just entertained us. How brilliant was she?
Fantastic.
And I think the show Protest Divas and Revolution would be an amazing night, so you must go along, everyone. In a few minutes, incredible musicians and stars. Nick, Paul Cadford, I just said producer Nick. Producer Nick is going to be here. Paul Cadford and Glenn Gregory will be here talking Holy Holy. But first, ladies and gents, it's the Supremes and I Hear a Symphony.
You've given me a true love, and every day I thank you, love, for feeling that so new, so inviting,
And I Hear a Symphony. I'm nearly crying, but I'm not going to cry because I've got chocolate all over my brand new t-shirt. But I just had a card, a St. Patrick's Day card. When was St. Patrick's Day? February...
Two weeks ago.
For Adrian. Thanks, Adrian. And some mint M&Ms, which I won't be sharing, but thank you, Adrian. That's really sweet of you. Guess what? Our final guests are here. Welcome to Soho Radio, Paul Cutherford and Glenn Gregory. How the hell are you?
Good.
Good.
Not too bad.
Not too bad. Yeah, don't go with good. Why go with good when you shouldn't?
I think good's pushing it a bit. Really.
So I was at a party once. So I went, turned up at a party and my then boyfriend, I went, hey, how are you? I went, oh my God, and told him. He went, Beeb, we're English. We just say fine. Yes. Do you know what I mean? Because I just went to the whole thing. It's this. I know you've just bought a T-shirt, Glenn Gregory.
I have, yes.
Could I please have the new T-shirt, Glenn Gregory?
Do you know what? It looks good. It just looks like you've just come out of Liberty's and you've bought a really new trendy T-shirt with that really big kind of snotty coffee stain down it. It looks wonderful.
I'm so gutted. Thank you so much. This is your first Soho Radio visit, isn't it?
It is, yes.
Were you banned for a while? What happened?
No. I've just managed to avoid it so far.
But now you're here. Hey, we've got a vinyl cutter.
Behind you.
I know. Yeah. Isn't that amazing? So next time
So we can
in,
make a record.
We can make a record. Well, Nick and I are on BBs. Backing vocals, Nick. Just so backing knows. Yeah, isn't that cool? Is that up and running, girls? Yeah, really?
Our first one.
Oh, talking to the mic, Ellie.
Our first vinyl was on Wednesday.
Yeah, who did
Tuesday,
it?
Tuesday.
And who was performing? Someone fabulous.
Yeah.
She's getting out of the phone. Right, yeah. Someone amazing. Well, next time, lads, let's get you in to do that. So you are, of course, ridiculously brilliant and successful musicians. Paul has played with many people, including Bob Geldof, Ian Hunter, Robin Gibb, Paul Young, Cat Stevens. I've got something to ask you later, Paul.
You didn't even read that out. You just knew that.
I know. It's just there. I read it on my tattoo. I've got a Paul tattoo in my left arm. I'm now going to go to my Glenn tattoo.
You actually over to Luke.
I've got a Glenn tattoo on my right arm. And Glenn is, of course, Mr. BF and Mr. Heaven 17. But today, Matthew, holy.
Yes, exactly. I am. I'll be singing the words and songs of David Bowie. In my own inimitable style, which is kind of quite hoarse. It's a good old long set, isn't it? It's 2 hours. It's 22 songs.
So it's the whole album of the Rise and Fall of Ziggy Stardust.
It's the whole Ziggy Stardust album, and then like kind of 15 or so other songs.
Oh, really? More as well.
So it's like really
other Bowie songs
that are related.
Yes, that are related to kind of
Woody and Tony.
So it's all good. It's all.
And it's described as a supergroup performing the songs of Bowie from 69 to 73, and the group is pretty super. So Tony Visconti.
Yes.
Mr. Tony Visconti on bass.
So who's Bowie's producer and play bass on The Man Who Sold the World?
The World, yes. Woody Woodmansey, who is the only surviving member of The Spiders from Mars. It's great to be on stage with such...
Well, what's it like? What's it like? Because they were so
close. Do you know what it's like? They are so... loud,
yeah.
Really, it must be some kind of 70s throwback. Yeah, but honestly, sometimes Woody hits his drums so hard that the force of the wind that generates from the bass drum, because I'm stood beside it, just actually moves me. It kind of rocks me. It's amazing.
I have to go over, you know, occasionally and sort of play off Woody.
Yeah.
And I'll stand in front of his kick drum and just, you can see the whole thing wanting to leave the building.
And then
it's sort of, the sound waves are punching me in the stomach. You know, it's like he hits it really.
He told me
really
this story
hard.
Back in the day when they were when they were first playing with Bowie and the Spiders from Mars, that that kits weren't mic'd up, so there was.
So is that why?
Yeah. So you'd got like Ronson and Trevor Boulder playing loud and heavy, and Woody said he actually used to use broom handles. He used to saw broom handles off and just thud at the drums because they weren't mic'd up, and he does. He really, really hits them. It's amazing.
It's so extraordinary. Is it? It must be an emotional experience for him. Is it emotional for you?
Oh yeah,
yeah, absolutely. It's difficult sometimes
because we all had those albums, you know.
Yeah.
Absolutely obsessed. Like, so
he was a huge influence, Bowie, on you anyway.
Yes.
Totally, totally. And also it's difficult because the audience, there's people in the audience that are really moved by it, you know, especially seeing Woody up there and Tony. So there's a real honest-to-God connection to that artist, to David. And people really get it, and they're crying, and they really, and they kind of look at you, and I have to cut... It chokes you up sometimes. I mean, I really feel like saying... It's not. I'm not him. You know. I'm just like, you know, because they're really wanting you to kind of be there.
Is it totally different experience performing someone else's stuff, especially like hit stuff, compared to your own music? So performance for you doing some Heaven Sent or BEF?
Yeah, I think it's very different. Yeah, and like I say, you've got to be kind of respectful, but then also I don't want to try and imitate David Bowie's voice, but. Oddly enough, it was such an influence on me as a kid.
It's there.
It's there anyway, and that's kind of enough. Just that's how I learned to do it, really, by listening to him and, well, I don't know, Roxy Music, Brian Ferry and, you know, people like that, Bolan.
Yeah.
So
Barry Bolan.
Yeah, Barry
Bolan. What about Mark Bolan? Yes. He was good.
And there's another Tony connection there, because he did all two Rex as well.
Well, we went to the Bolan thing, didn't we? Where was that? The BFI?
It was at the BFI, the Bolan Born to Boogie film.
Yeah.
Which Tony then did the Q&A.
I didn't see you.
I didn't see
Where
you.
Were you?
I did see you. I hid. I didn't see Paul. No, it was a brilliant night. So we must say, Paul and I, we're... Producer Nick thinks we're cousins, and I don't know why you said that. Why do you keep referring to Paul as my cousin?
In a kind of... Yeah, sort of Tennessee way, your cousin.
In a Norfolk way.
Take that back.
Listen. We're brother and sister-in-law by proxy.
Yeah, twice removed.
Yes.
How is everyone?
They're all well.
Oh, did they send their love? Didn't they bother? Did they send
their
love?
I haven't seen them, actually, because I've been away with Glenn.
Okay,
Yes.
Something you want to tell us?
Yes. We do occasionally share rooms.
Do you?
Not with him, no.
only 8 weeks on a tour bus, that's sharing a room.
I couldn't, I mean, I couldn't be a pop star for many, many reasons. But the big reasons, I couldn't do a tour bus.
Could you not?
No,
I thought you'd love it.
I don't like people.
Okay.
That would be a problem.
So,
14 people and one toilet.
Seriously, why is... Oh. Why would you two go into that industry? Why would you? What's wrong with you? Hey, Paul, what are the specific challenges of playing Bowie?
Well, for me, obviously, it's all about Mick Ronson and James Stevenson's the other guitar player, and we sort of divvy up the parts, and we're both fans, so that helps. And we do try and imitate Mick Ronson.
And so does it help, though? Because doesn't it make you then be them rather than you doing
them? But
then
I think you need to be for those
we
parts,
do.
Don't
you? Do. They, you just have to try and get it down as close as you can with the tone and the feel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which
that's
is great. That's what the people want to hear, isn't it? They want to hear.
They do. There's no point making your
licks,
own stuff up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's a great Visconti quote saying, you know, we're not a tribute band. We are the real deal.
Yeah.
So totally. You're bringing you to it too.
Yeah, exactly. It isn't. Yeah, it isn't a tribute band. It's the those are the real people playing, and we're kind of just helping it to be real again. But
so when Elvis died,
I didn't do any of that. No.
Well, where were you when he died, then? Glenn Gregory.
I was in Ladbroke Grove, actually.
Were you?
Yeah.
Were you?
Yeah.
At the South Yorkshire Embassy?
Yes.
Were you?
I was in Oxford Gardens, yes. That's exactly where
that's
I was.
Where you were. But when Elvis died, I knew who Elvis was, but I kind of fell in love with him the next day because there was all this kind of, and I was like, oh my God, I loved him. I left it. Story of my life, producer Nick. Mm. Producer Nick has got a bit of a crush on me, so at some stage today, oh no, look at how he loves I touch him. So I fell in love with Bowie after. So some of your some of the audience are going to be like, you know, the fans that have loved Bowie forever. But it would be people. I mean, could anyone just have been discovering Bowie? But are there people that are new to him?
Surprisingly,
because of,
there's an enormous amount of young people in the audience.
Yeah.
I mean, really, I'd say it was half and half.
Yeah,
it really is. There's and they know all the words, don't
yes.
they? And they're mouthing every lyric, and they've got, you know, some of them have gone the whole hog and they look like 70s Bowie and
yeah. What do
with
you
the
wear?
Zigzag. I just, it gets so hot up there for 2 hours. I'm basically t-shirt and jeans because it does really get.
Do you want this t-shirt?
Yeah, I'll be wearing that tonight. Yeah. So if I look like really trendy at Shepherd's Bush tonight, I'm wearing BB's t-shirt.
So you don't do the full lame leotard thing.
Only at home.
No.
Disappointing, Glenn.
Only on the tour bus afterwards.
What's the worst thing that's happened on the tour bus apart from the toilets?
We had a little crash. Only a little one. Squashed another car.
Did
she
you?
Tried to cut up it on the inside.
So it was her fault?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the worst one was we woke up, because when you're on the tour bus, they never turn the engine off. So you kind of get, your whole body gets in tune with this kind of constant. And when they turn it off, when they do actually turn it off, it's really weird and everybody wakes up.
Oh,
so everyone was fast asleep. And suddenly I woke up and like, something's wrong. And I kind of like got out of my tent and looked out and it was, that's not the sky. It's like, and we were in, where were we outside?
Texas.
Yeah, we're in Texas.
Oh, it wasn't
in
the sky,
middle
then.
Of nowhere, yeah. In a garage, because the bus had broken down, just with these guys with big moustaches.
Yeah.
And, it, and we were like, oh, and we were
that's
like,
Soho, Glenn.
Okay.
Pretty weird.
And that was quite scary.
What's the nicest thing about being on tour?
The nicest thing
did
about
you
being
two know
tour,
each other before? So did you
not
become friends?
The band, no. No.
The nicest thing about being on tour is being on stage. Mm. That's the best bit. I mean, all the rest of it is a real pain in the arse. but that, so you're really living. What's keeping you going? I'm being real. I'm genuine. Is that 2 hours on stage? Because that is why you're there.
That is why you're there.
And the audience are loving it, and you come off, and that gives you the power to put up with all the crap that you have to do 14 people on a bus with one toilet.
But was there any reluctance to join Holy Holy because of the pressure, because of performing?
Oh, not at all.
No.
Because when I was in Ian Hunter's band, Mick Ronson was his guitar player as well, so it was kind of, and in the band I was in before that, it was, can you play like Mick Ronson?
Okay. So you were going
to
do it.
Well, same question to Glenn, actually. I was wondering did you have any trepidation about entering into it, you know, wondering how it would be received by fans? Or...
Well, oddly enough, obviously we were doing this before David died.
Mm.
And I'd just been working on a project that Tony Visconti produced, a thing called International Blue, with a guy called Stefan Emma. And it was a great album, and it was just at the right time. Tony had been mixing my voice, and this had come up, the chance to do Man Who Sold the World at that point,
right,
live.
Yeah.
And Tony phoned me up and he just said, listen, I don't know if you'd be interested, but I just think your voice would really suit it. We're going to go and do the Man Who Sold the World live. and would you like to sing it? And I thought he meant, would I like to sing that one song, The Man Who Sold the World? Yeah. You know, I figured they were maybe going to do one show at Shepherd's, but I said, oh, yeah, I'd love to. And if you'd like me to do any other songs, I'd love to do those as well. He went, oh, no, I want you to do all the songs, and then we're going to do a few more at the end of the album as well. So I was... it was my birthday, actually, when he called me. Yeah, so it's a really good birthday present.
When's your birthday?
The 16th of May.
Oh, May. What does that make you, Taurus?
Taurus, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I like Taurus.
How jealous is Martin Ware?
I think he's very happy for me. he's coming to Sheffield, and he did that... are you listening, Martin? He did that thing which all musicians hate... when people text you and say, what time are you on in Sheffield? And he actually did it to me. Even though he hates it, he texted me and he said, what time are you on in Sheffield? So I texted him back saying, hang on a minute, I'll just go on the internet
and
have a look.
Yeah, yeah, let me Google that for you. Yeah. So you started with Holy Holy, both of you, before Bowie died.
Yes.
So what was the difference performing before and after then?
Massive.
It was really strange, yeah, because we've just... A day before he died, we played in New York at the Highline Ballroom, and Tony had phoned him from stage to sing Happy Birthday because it was David's birthday.
Yeah.
And I got the audience to sing Happy Birthday to David on stage, and that was in New York. The next day we were in Toronto, and at 2:30 in the morning, the first I knew is I got a phone call from someone at the BBC, and it had got my mobile number and knew I was on tour and said, can you give us a quote on David's death? And I was fast asleep, I had no idea, and I'm like, I think I might have to call you back on that one. And then I went downstairs and everybody was just waking up and knew, and obviously Tony knew that he was really ill. Nobody else did.
No.
I'll tell you what, if you ever need a secret keeping, give it to Tony Visconti. But I mean, literally it went crazy afterwards. We were due to do one night in Toronto, weren't we? And then I think we'd got about 6 gigs left over a couple of weeks. We didn't have a day off. They put gigs in every single day. We had to do gigs every day. And there were queues around the block. And there were... It was amazing, actually. It's
and
quite
Paul,
scary.
Scary?
Yeah, it was. Yes. It was very scary.
A sense
people,
of responsibility.
Yeah.
And emotional?
Oh, very emotional. That first night after he died was the Toronto show, and that was hard.
Yeah.
When starting life on Mars.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, I'm in tears occasionally because it is, even still now, I think, sometimes, especially if you just you catch someone's eye and you're singing something, like Life on Mars, because that does it for me a lot anyway, and you catch someone's eye and you can just see what it means to them. And I just kind of choke up and I have to look away because it's hard to sing and in that
this
way.
Is the impossible question, but why was he so? Why did he mean so much to people?
God, I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, he just had something, didn't he? I don't know. He just was the man. He just could make it interesting and new and push the boundaries and. He took people with him when he went on these ever-changing journeys that he went on.
Do you, Paul, think you have more respect for him now playing his music?
Yes.
For the songs?
Because you kind of start to see how it's all put together. And Lady Grinning Soul, for example, which we should do.
I'd love to do. I'd like to do it just to fuck Bernice up. Oh, sorry. Because the keyboard part is so
yes,
hard.
It is. It's up there. yeah, so that
oh, you're
one.
Such a team player.
Yes.
Makes a change to have somebody else swearing instead of
I know. I don't know how I haven't been thrown out of this building several times. So it gave you more respect because you're
absolutely.
Actually singing the songs.
Yeah.
Oh, I just think it... What an experience. I mean, of course... But a really kind of perversely lovely experience for you both to be there before and after, I think, because you were part of the tribute.
Exactly.
I think that's lovely.
There's another weird thing, because I grew up... you know, in the 70s, listening to Bowie and singing along to Bowie and learning all those songs and knowing all those songs, only to find out 30-odd years later that I'd been singing the wrong words all the way along for the last 20-odd
like
years.
What?
Oh, I don't know. Just kind of just like, it's like, what, Dog and Clowns? Does he really sing that?
Do you have the same range?
I've taken the key down one semitone, two steps, But Tony said that Bowie did that anyway, but it, now, if he was doing it now, he'd be doing it down at least two, maybe three or four steps.
Yeah.
But the ones, you know, back then it's really high. I mean, I can just about do it, but I would never last 2 hours.
But there is another advantage, actually, because we've tuned the guitars down. Yeah, okay. A whole tone, two semitones, which is where the kind of the death metal stuff is. And it, so it actually sounds quite a lot heavier. So The Man Who Sold the World sounds really thick.
Yeah. Well, we're not playing that. We're playing Rock and Roll Suicide.
Oh,
that's my favourite song.
My favourite song.
Is it?
Yeah.
I did good. Bowie did good.
Takes a cigarette, puts it in your mouth. You pull on your finger, then another finger, then cigarette. The water wall is calling, it lingers, then you forget. Oh, 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 you're a rock and roll suicide. You're too old to lose it, too young to choose it, and the clock waits so patiently on your song. You walk past the cafe, but you don't eat when you've lived too long. Oh no, 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 you're a rock and roll suicide. Shift break for snarling as you stumble across the road, but the day breaks instead, so you hurry home. Don't let the sun blast your shadow, don't let the milk float rob your mind. They're so natural, religiously unkind. Oh no, love, you're not alone. Yourself, but you're too unfair. You've got your head all tangled up, but a bar can only make you care. Oh no, love, you're not alone. No matter what or who you've been, no matter when or where you've seen, overnight it'll lacerate your brain. I've had my share, I'll help you with the pain. You're not alone.
It's a little bit bullying. Do you see that? A little bit aggressive.
I was conducting.
I don't know who you think you are. You're listening to Beba Does Soho on Soho Radio, sohoradiolondon.com. We have an app. Go to the App Store and search for Soho Radio London. That was Rock and Roll Suicide by David Bowie. And of course, we've been hearing all the music recently because he died, but that's a brilliant song. Oh, you hear it again, you go, oh, my God.
Yeah, it's really nice to sing that as well. I mean, it's nice because it comes, because quite a lot of them are pretty full on from the start of Bowie songs, but that one kind of just really creeps in, and just, but by the end you can really feel the emotion and you really can push it, and it's great. I love singing it.
Well, I think the wonderful line sounds like Heaven 17.
Which one's that?
Wonderful.
Oh, you're wonderful.
Yeah.
Actually, yes, so do I. I thought that at one point. It sounds like a Heaven 17 backing vocal.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that.
Do you think he nicked it?
Yeah,
I think he probably did.
What a terrible, terrible...
Bloody time-travelling superstar.
Did you? They're all the same, Glenn. Yeah. They're all the same. Keep away from them. That's what my mother always... No, my mother never said that to me. Did you ever meet him?
I met him once, actually, in... Was he called the Nashville? In a kind of rock pub towards Earl's Court.
Yes, it's the West Ken.
West
tube
Ken,
station.
Yeah, the Nashville and the original Human League were playing
next to it.
And the original Human League were playing, and I was there because I was friends with Martin and Ian and Phil and everybody. And I was back, I was in the audience, and somebody came and went, David Bowie's in the audience, David Bowie's here. And we go, get out of it. And then he came in after the show, and he grabbed me by the shoulders and shook me, and he went, they are amazing. They are the future of music. And I went, yes, David.
And you answered Bowie.
Yes.
What?
And there is actually a photograph of us all in that dressing room.
So that would have been like 1980? Something.
No, way earlier, 77, something like that.
Oh, my God, it must have blown your mind.
78, so he'd have been at Earl's Court doing those shows.
Yeah. It was brilliant.
What was he wearing?
It was November, and he had a suit on and a really big overcoat, a long overcoat.
Did you ever meet him, Paul?
No. Unfortunately not, no. I was on a piece of music with him, the Perfect Day thing in 97. Do you remember the BBC thing?
Yeah.
So that's it. That's the closest I got.
Well, it's closer than... Did you met him?
Two or three times, yeah.
Oh, I've remembered the story now. With Iman,
yeah.
And the shoes.
Apparently,
what did he say?
It was at the Brits, and he, I don't know if you recall, he wore those high-heeled shoes. He had this tuxedo on and the stilettos. And we were walking to the stage, and... I wasn't playing, I was just on the crew.
Walking to the stage.
It's an important job.
It is, yeah.
I was one of the stage management people. And Iman was there, and she tripped on her heels. And I just sort of cheekily said to him, I said, oh, you can walk better in your heels than she can. And he turned to me and winked and said, I've had more practice, love.
It's nice.
Does, when you're... It's a weird thing to say, because I guess you do, but maybe not so much, because it is still a gig and it's still a tour.
Yeah.
Is it all about Bowie... off state, you know, like, is all the banter about him, or I hate that word, I can't believe I just said it, but do you know what I mean? Or was it like, you know, is Tony Visconti telling you fabulous stories about him all the time?
We have heard some fabulous stories, haven't we?
We've had some great stories.
Yes.
None of them repeatable.
None of which we can repeat.
Musicians are such teasers, aren't they? I know. That's such a terrible thing. Jamoke Elliott, not telling a special guest. So in New York, I guess this was after he died. So was it Carnegie Hall? Yes, and that amazing
day. We played Carnegie Hall and
Radio City. Musical, amazing.
One night after each other, it was amazing.
Was it both your first times playing there?
Yes.
How incredible!
It was incredible.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
It's a shame you can't get an autograph from a building, isn't it? Are you snapping everything the whole time?
Got quite a few. Yeah.
And also there was that. Where did we play? Was it the Philadelphia, the Tower?
Yeah.
Tower Ballroom in Philadelphia.
David Live.
Where David Live was recorded, which is still my favourite all-time live album.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I love that album. And that was a real joy, to stand on that stage and sing the same songs that he'd done there. That was just amazing.
How do you think this is going to influence future stuff you do? Is this something you take with you?
I think performance-wise... Live-wise, yes, it's made a big difference, because it's a very different thing to Heaven 17. It's a lot more kind of forceful and out there and kind of performance than Heaven 17. So, yeah, I think it's... and my voice is getting stretched a lot more. I think my voice has improved a lot anyway since I started singing. I think it's just got better, but really kind of pushing it out to do this has improved it even more, so I think it's just made it everything better, really.
Something you take with you. And with so in New York you had some amazing guests, like Debbie Harry, Michael Stipe.
Yes, it was very cool.
I saw Debbie Harry recently at the Soft Area at BBC Radio London, and I was so excited.
The soft area.
And I was so excited, and I tried not to stare. I'd stared a little bit, but I can't see things. She didn't. When you can't see, you assume people can't see you looking, don't you?
No.
Anyway, I couldn't see, but I'm sure she saw me just looking and going, what the hell? Have you got any special guests coming up for the UK tours?
I don't think we have, actually, no. We started off by having quite a few guests, but it was, for me, I think it diluted it a little
bit. Does it break the feeling?
It breaks the feeling, and it stops it. It's a little bit too showy, I think. It's a little bit kind of nightclubby, and I just feel we're more of a band now, aren't we?
I agree with him. It's better. We perform better.
Yeah.
That becomes a tribute show then.
I think so.
Artist tribute show as opposed to a band.
I mean, we're tight now, and we've done a lot of gigs. You know, we were in America for 8 weeks or something, all over the place, and we've done the UK twice now, and it's a really genuinely, honestly, great sounding band. So I think when you get people kind of just coming up and having to go at the guitar, or occasionally someone even played drums, didn't they? You know, and it's just
pushing Woody out the way.
Yeah, I just think it's better as a real band, personally. Yeah. So no, there are no special guests, but you don't need them.
You don't need them.
No.
Did you?
You special guests
can
all.
Oh yeah, I play something.
Producer Nick, I am a very generous woman, Paul. You know that because we're cousins. And have I ever bought you a present? Never.
No.
We've got some M&M, minty M&Ms we'll show in a minute.
Okay, thank you.
Glenn Gregory's not getting one. He didn't give me his T-shirt.
Okay.
every show I give to producer Nick, standing ominously behind me, the gift of music. And I let him choose a track.
That's very nice of you,
thank
Bibi.
Thank you so much. Mm. Sometimes he really annoys me because he plays some shit. No, he doesn't. He always plays brilliant music. And you're going to play something today, aren't you?
Well, I didn't know whether to play any David Bowie or to play any Heaven 17.
Okay.
So I opted for Heaven 17. I thought I'd play my favourite Heaven 17 track.
And which is?
Can you guess?
No.
Oh, it's this one.
Trouble, I'm Bebe Lynch. This is Bebe Does Soho on Soho Radio. Glenn Gagnon, can you keep the noise down, please? SohoRadioLondon.com. And we have an app. Go to the App Store and search for Soho Radio London. London's a lovely word, isn't it?
That was Trouble by Heaven 17.
Heaven 17?
Yes.
Those upstarts. Hey, Glenn.
What?
Can I thank you for Temptation?
Yes, of course.
Oh, I love that song so much.
Do you?
Yeah, and it was when I was young and firm, it was my getting ready song. So I was just always drunk.
Young and what?
Firm. Shut up. So like silk cut and vodka and Temptation.
What better mix possibly be?
And going out was worse. Do you know what I mean? I'd never have a good enough time, as good a time as when I was getting ready with that. So you wrote it in the South Yorkshire Embassy.
Yes, yeah, we did, yeah. In fact, I really remember it was a really sunny day, kind of like today. And we went in and we'd been writing the demos for the Luxury Get. And Martin Ware, we came in, I think he'd been up all night, probably with you somewhere, I don't know. When you were young.
I mean, he left me somewhere, I don't know where I am. Yeah, call me Martin.
And he said, I've had a great idea for a song based on the Lord's Prayer. And it's like a kind of sexual frenzy that just kind of builds and builds like an Isha staircase. And just gets, but it never quite comes to climax. And we're like, oh, wow.
Get out.
Where have you been all night? You know? But he did have that, you know, that, and that is
Martin
what
had too many baroccas.
Exactly. But that is what it is. It's what it's about.
Has God always been an inspiration to you?
Always, yeah.
Always. Paul, God.
Well, yeah, I sort of grew up in that sort of environment.
Did you? Did you?
Quite a churchy school. Yeah.
I threw that in casually, not realising who we had in the studio.
Yes. He's Cassock, isn't
where do you it, stand right? Now, God?
Yeah, I'm not so sure now.
Yeah. There was a man outside Seven Sisters yesterday with a PA and a mic. He was so loud, oh my God. And telling me specifically, that my life is wretched because I don't have God in my heart.
Which is easier now in that
exactly, and his point has been proven. That's because I keep talking about God in a terrible way. Why did you give Carol Kenyon that top note? Because that's the glory note. You've gifted another singer.
Well, that's the love of the artist, isn't it? Yes, no, we struggle actually trying to find the right girl for that song, because we knew what we wanted and we'd recorded it and I'd done all my parts and we'd done the orchestra and we tried two or three girls, like really quite famous singers, you know, a couple of like, I won't mention their names, but like some Stevie Wonder and girl, you know, and American singers, and they just did. They were just too soft, and it wasn't quite right. And oddly enough, I phoned Rusty Egan up and said, "Rusty, we're looking for. You got any? You know, do you know anybody like want a kind of really ballsy vocalist girl singer?" And he went, "Yeah, Glenn, I know you. You need come and meet me down at the WAG, and I'll introduce you to her."
Someone get Rusty on the phone, because I need to hear if that's a really good impression or not.
That is really good.
Is it good? Okay.
And he did, and he introduced us to Carol Kenyon, and she came in, and we gave her the lyrics and gave her the rundown of the kind of the melody, and she went in and she performed it brilliantly. She got it. Nailed it absolutely, and suddenly the whole song then was real and it fitted together. You know, the orchestra and her voice and my voice together,
and there's a Motowny feel as well.
Totally, so, yeah, it's great.
Oh, I love it. Look, can we play it, please?
We should
Nick?
Play it.
And I might go for Kent. You know, was it a top scene?
Go for it. Yeah,
go for it. It's my show.
I've never been closer. I tried to understand that certain feeling carved by another's hand. Oh, but it's too late to hesitate. We can't keep on living like this. Leave no trace.
Temptation. You can take it or leave it.
Temptation.
by day. Every second counts, I can't break away. Leave no trace, hide your face.
Fall on the fire,
temptation.
Keep climbing higher and higher,
temptation.
You can take it or leave it,
temptation.
But you better believe
Ellie is doing something naughty. Oh, this is Dante. So Dante said it was a great Rusty Egan.
Excellent.
So
thank you, Dante.
Ellie, touched my phone. That's okay, isn't it? Is she allowed to do that? Nick?
I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention.
I'm so sorry. It's produced.
Yeah, she can do what she likes.
Oh, okay, good. Well,
does she know the password?
We all know. 666. and this is Dante Banks again, who just called me a pain in the arse, but isn't being nice to you, Glenn Gregory, so that's annoying me a little bit. One Friday, you and me at the pub doing karaoke, I'll be Glenn to your Carol.
That's perfect.
Yes, okay.
I'll come along.
Yeah, can you imagine just sitting there going, let's try.
It has happened.
Has it?
Yeah.
What, were you being somewhere?
Yeah, I've been in a karaoke bar and someone did Temptation.
And you joined in?
No, I didn't. I just sat there thinking, wow, it's better than me.
Were they good?
I think I was there.
Oh, yes, you were.
Where
there,
was
yeah.
this? The karaoke, what is it, around the corner.
Do you know I've never been?
Did they do it because they saw you there or they didn't recognise you? They didn't
I don't think they recognised me. Yeah.
That's so hilarious.
Very good.
So, Paul,
yes.
You know we're cousins.
Yes.
Our family...
This is going to be embarrassing, isn't it?
A little bit. Our family are a little bit dodgy, as you know. And there's sometimes the fibs happen, right?
Yes.
Now, two people that you know, that you work and have worked with...
Yes.
...are main players in these fibs. And I'll tell you the story, and then it's up to you to get to the truth. I might make you text these people. Hey, producer Nick, I know you're doing a picture of Glenn and Paul, but can I be in a photo soon, please?
Okay.
But can I do it with my top?
Oh, yeah, without off. Without the spillage.
I know. Just again, can I do it?
You suffered a spillage earlier if you just tuned in.
So apparently...
spillage aisle three.
Anyway, apparently Tony Visconti used to hang out with my Uncle Farouk in Covent Garden.
Right.
Seriously, text. Glenn, don't laugh because you're getting involved in a minute. So it's a text, right? And then apparently Cat Stevens apparently fancied my mum. And
oh, yeah, I heard that.
Yeah. What, from Cat Stevens?
No.
Oh.
Someone
from my family.
From
our family.
Yes.
It's exactly liars.
From your brother.
My brother. Our brother.
Oh, yes, sorry.
And apparently he rehearsed in my nan's front room with my Uncle Meru on drums above Frank's Cafe in Neal Street. I mean, these are brilliant stories.
They are very good
Can
stories.
Can you, by the end of the show, find it if they're true or not?
I will attempt to find
Thank
out if
you.
It's true.
Oh, my goodness. What if it's true?
I always thought these stories were true.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I tell
so
a lot
you
of
could have been Cat Stevens' daughter.
Yeah, BB Stevens, BB Cat. No, that didn't work. So text them and find out. So I'm going to do the annoying thing. What time are you on tonight?
Oh, you're good. I think we're on at 8:45.
I think that's a very good stab in the dark.
Thank you.
Yeah. And yeah, Shepherd's Bush.
Shepherd's Bush Empire. 8:45. It's a really, really good show.
Oh, it's going to be an amazing night. So there's a huge Bowie connection, Soho connection, of course, isn't there? So this album was recorded at Trident.
That's right, yes. Yeah.
St. Anne's Court.
St. Anne's Court, just up the road.
And that's not there now.
Yeah. Is it sort of
kind
bits of it?
They do library music there. The name's still on the door, but it's not.
Have
really
you recorded that?
No.
I have. But have you? Yeah, Heaven 17 did.
So we met forever ago. Used to do stuff at the Strong Room.
Yeah, that's
and I
right.
was the receptionist. I was fat with a perm.
Fat with a perm.
Fat with a perm. I expect you remember me fondly.
Obviously, but yes.
Is the Strong Room a brilliant studio?
Yes, it's fantastic. I love that.
Genuinely. So I've moved out a lot in my life, and even as a child, I've never lived anywhere longer than 5 years, even my parents. I know it sounds like we're on the run, and I don't officially think we're on the run, but this family, who knows? Our family, Paul, who knows? We could be on the run.
Hiding from Cat Stevens. So,
yeah. Seriously, Paul, I haven't seen you text anyone.
Sorry, I switched my phone off, which is what I thought I should
do. Oh, yeah, is that what we should... Oh,
in a radio studio.
One of us is professional. So text Tony Visconti and Cat Stevens and mention BB, it's my mum's name, and Farouk.
Yes.
Do that by the end of the show. You've got 8 minutes. Okay. What was I saying? It's a struggle. So when people dream...
He's really doing it.
No, I really wanted to do it. So when people dream of their family home, I dream of Strong Room.
Do you really?
Yeah, seriously, because I loved it there so much, and I was kind of based there for about 10 years. So hello, Strong Room, we love you.
And that was before kind of Shoreditch was... where it is now, isn't it?
The thing that I knew made Shoreditch turn, and I was like, okay, this place is going the wrong side of bonkers, but I still kind of love it, is do you remember the bricklayers, the brickies?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. They... it was a Euro whatever, I can't remember the year, and they turfed not just the bar and the floor, but the tables and the seats. So there was fake grass.
On your tables?
On your chair.
I didn't go into Bricklayer's Arms when it was like that. No.
And I was like, it's gone too arty. It's gone. But that was a magical little era and area.
Yeah, and also, do you remember across... even before the studios there, the AI Assorted Images Malcolm. With Malcolm Garrett.
Yeah, yeah.
They were there. And that's... So we used to... Because Malcolm did all our sleeves.
Wow.
So we used to go there even before the Strong Room were there.
Wow. And because Jamie Reid all the artwork and, in
exactly,
Strong Room.
Exactly, yeah.
It's a beautiful place. I love it so much. And I might buy it. what's next for you both?
Well, we've got maybe a week of this left. And then... I am at the moment scoring ITV drama at
Are
the same
you?
Time as doing this, which is good. We're on episode 4 of 6 episodes. And then later on, after that, we're trying to finish Heaven 17 album, myself and Martin, but getting the two of us together in the studio is very difficult because we all both do lots of other things. But it's sounding great. They really are sounding great. And I guess we're kind of more than halfway through now. And then at the end of the year, in December, Heaven 17 are going off on tour with Blancmange, and we're doing kind of 10, 12, although they keep adding more dates. And that's going to be more kind of smaller places, very clubby, very very kind of more electronic versions of Heaven 17 songs. So, yeah, that's going to be... I'm really looking forward to that.
How amazing. And Paul, what are you up to next?
I have some gigs with Steve Harley, Cockney Rebel.
Yay.
So that's... I'm really enjoying that. And some more gigs with Bob Geldof, which I love playing with Bob.
Is he lovely?
He is brilliant, yeah. He's hilarious.
Yeah really I saw him fun. At one of the Maid of El sessions at the front row. Not the front row, but when John Wilson does his stuff. And he's just so charismatic.
He is.
Whatever he says, you're just like, yeah, he's great.
He is. You know where you stand with him.
Is it to the left?
Yeah. Not on the radio.
Just behind. Oh, hang on one sec. What are you talking about? Oh, yeah, I know. Producer Nick just touched me and then did the wind-up thing, which is shut the hell up.
That's supposed to be kind of discreet and subtle. Now you've alerted everyone.
I like
attention.
People to know what you do. I like people to know why you're paid.
Do I get paid?
Oh, yeah, right. So have a great time tonight.
Thank you,
BB.
We're going to come along. We can't wait. And everyone at home, try and go. Is it sold out tonight?
I think yes.
It is. Okay, but there's new dates. So there's new UK tour dates, including the 13th of April in Liverpool, 14th in Sheffield, and the 15th of April in Bristol. So let me say goodbye and thank my guests. Thank you. Jamoke Fashola. Protest Divas and Revolution is at the Pizza Express Jazz Club, Dean Street, on Sunday, 23rd of April. For tickets, go to pizzaexpresslive.com and follow Jamoke on Twitter at Jamoke Fashola and visit jamokefashola.com for updates on all her exciting projects. Thank you so much, Paul Cardiff and Glenn Gregory. For Holy Holy's UK tour dates and get ticket info, go to holyholy.co.uk.
And follow them on Twitter at Holy Holy Bowen for updates on Paul and Glenn's other brilliant projects. Follow them at Blind Lemon Curd. Shut your face, and I love lemon curd. And at Mr. Gregory. Thank you, producer Nick. Thank you, producer Ellie. Thank you, producer Jane. And most of all, thank you for listening and joining in. That's it from me, BB Lynch. Until next time, stay tuned to your wonderful Soho Radio. And I'll leave you with Bobby Bland. This is for you, Skeleton Oscar. Actually, Bobby Bland, that's my full name. Actually, not a lot of people know that. And Ain't No Love in the Heart of the City. I hear you, BB. Bye, Soho. Have a happy life.